Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, let's focus on these things. Nourish our mind with the good and the true. That is what St. Paul tells us to do. And by all means, let's talk about these things, too. That is what we do on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation that will hopefully encourage all of us to celebrate, explore, and affirm our Catholic faith so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G, my faithful engineer and chief fact checker, is at the ready as always with one hand on the control board and the other flicking through baseball scores of the week.
You wake up and all of a sudden it's right smack in the middle of July. How'd that happen?
I know. And you are in your high holy season because of baseball. This has been All-Star Week, right?
Truth be told, I'm a longtime Dodgers fan, and this is a good time to be a Dodgers fan.
Yeah, they had a big showing with the All-Star stuff.
Yeah, well, I think they had the best record in all of baseball, too.
Yeah,
so close to it.
They are on the road to the World Series.
Let's hope.
And Cody Bellinger, he did so well with the Home Run Derby. And how cool that his dad pitched to him.
Exactly. And yeah. I think he's younger than my son. It's insane. He's just a young, young man.
Yeah, they're a sentimental favorite this year. I think people have a lot of affection for the Mighty Blue. And you're going to get up to some games?
I hope so. Well, last year it was the Cubbies. And show some love for the Dodgers this time. Come on.
Dodgers are on their way. Hey, Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the stunning Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. And we are in the shadow of the Big Red A from Angel Stadium. Speaking of baseball, you know, I think it's partly because summer is baseball season and baseball is such an iconically American sport that summer always just kind of screams God bless America to me. I see more flags flying during the summer than any other time of year. And our flag motif seems to be borrowed for all kinds of decorative summer decor. We had some Italian students visiting us a couple of summers ago, and they commented on that. They said, Americans, they show their red, white, and blue all the time. It's flags everywhere, you know, and they were noticing that in my home and just in the general public square. And I think it's tremendous that we fly our flags at home and at stadiums and in commercial and public squares. Listen, our stars and stripes were forged at a great cost, and the flag is sustained by the same selfless courage and sacrifice that first won it. We got to keep that up. We have a guest today who knows a great deal about the price of our American liberty and independence. Katie McMaster is currently the Associate Director for Christian Formation in the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia, and she also happens to be the wife of three-star General H.R. McMaster, our national security advisor.
Wow.
Have you heard that name before?
I have.
Rings a little bell. Well, now you're going to know his wife. Over their 35 years of married life, General McMaster's impeccable military career has taken Katie and their three daughters to 17 homes in 9 states and 3 countries.
That'll make your head spin.
Yeah. I mean, and when you meet her, you'll see she's just a down-to-earth, homegrown American patriot, lover. And through all these moves and upheavals, Katie has sought out catechetical work for our Catholic Church all over the world. We're going to hear her story in just a minute, so I know you're going to really enjoy meeting her.
Actually, just dawned on me, you said 35 years married, 17 moves, so that's every other year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there was sometimes twice a year, twice, two in 1 year. Yeah, and, you know, so you just pack up and you go where duty calls.
Ooh, crazy.
Beautiful. And then later, in a very short Chatting with Catholics segment, because summer is the traveling season, we'll talk to a few Catholics about a favorite church that they discovered while on vacation. Maybe it's your church out there. You know, we've got visitors popping in our pews during the Sunday services now, so we want to be welcoming. Keep a smile on your face.
Out-of-state license plates in the parking lot.
Watch out. They never put their blinkers on. Hey, but first up, at the top of the hour, it's the Call Me Catholic Countdown, which, because it's summer and we're in a God Bless America state of mind, this is going to be the top 5 ways we can support our military. Now, I know you can get behind that, Jimmy G.
Nice. Absolutely.
Yeah. The U.S. military is one of the most trusted institutions in the United States, maybe in the world, actually. Many servicemen and women are drawn to the military as a solid career option. Others may be compelled to serve out of a sense of patriotism. But ultimately, when they meet shoulder to shoulder in the trenches, they are prepared to risk their lives for ours. So here we go. These are my top five suggestions for ways we can support our military. Here we go.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Now, this is really just scratching the surface. It is so easy to find ways that we can support our military in action and deed and thought. And I'm just taking five so that I can stimulate your thoughts on this subject matter. Okay, so number five is to simply thank them for their service. When you see a man or a woman in uniform, thank them. Say thank you for your service. You don't have to interrupt their conversation. Just say thank you for your service. And I think they appreciate it. If you see them in the airports, in restaurants, hotels, whatever, just express your thanks. I think they appreciate it. And, you know, you can also shake their hand, tell them how proud we are of their service. And I think that's a very important thing to express.
Even standing in line, buying a cup of coffee or at a restaurant or store.
Well, you know what? And this is another lovely thing people do. They'll send a round of drinks to their table or they'll give them their first class seat in an airplane.
Right.
So buy them a Coke, you know, do something to express it, put some action behind your words, but mostly just think about your gratitude for them and express it however you have the first opportunity to. Okay, my number four way that we can support the military is to fly the American flag. Now, I love the fact that I think since 9/11, more people fly their flags at home. And I love seeing them not just on the holidays, not just on American holidays, but also throughout the year to fly the American flag. I love seeing it in commercial public spaces, but I love seeing it on homes. Now, just one little thing I want to mention. Because we have great pride and respect for the Stars and Stripes, it's important to honor the etiquette that we are asked, the protocol that we are asked to install with the flying of the American flag.
Right, right.
And there is a website you can go to. You can go to usflag.org and they will give you some really very practical and very sound ground guidelines for flying the American flag. And I think you might be surprised at some of the things we forget about in flying the colors. Okay. Number three would be, hey, give discounts to our military. If you run a business, offer a discount. If you see a person in uniform, offer them a discount, however small it could be, just a gesture. I noticed that on hotel websites and other retail businesses that are online, they'll offer military discounts. Mm. And I think that's a lovely way to thank our military. Okay, number two would be to go to a site called soldiersangels.com. That's soldiersangels.com. Now, there are probably literally hundreds of websites out there that give you opportunities and ways to support the military through different services, different funding, different gestures. But this one is kind of a broad website, and their slogan is, may no soldier go unloved. And it kind of helps, it gives volunteers and family members a way to support veterans, wounded heroes, deployed service members and their families. So it's a really broad spectrum. And if you want to write a letter, it'll give you a soldier to write a letter to. If you want to give a care package, it'll tell you how to get that there. So it's a really good website. It's called soldiersangels.com. Okay. Now, the number one way that we can support our military is to pray for them. Pray for our service men and women. And let's be specific. Include those men and women in your prayers of the faithful at Mass, where we give our intentions for what we specifically want to pray for. If you know their names, even better, you know, but make sure your parish community is praying specifically for the men and women from your faith family who have been deployed, especially to some of the more dangerous regions of the world. They should absolutely be included in every parish's prayers of the faithful. So there you have it. There are literally hundreds of ways we can respect and support our troops. Find just one thing that your household can do, and you'll be surprised by how many other people will be inspired by your model, and then they'll find a way to express their support for our military. So it's kind of a keep paying it forward type thing. It should be part of our everyday American culture. You can support us by checking out our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. Our troops are growing, and we'd like to enlist you to join our family, the Call Me Catholic Facebook family. Hey, I cannot wait to introduce you to our guest, Katie McMaster, a chief catechist in the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia, who also happens to be married to General H.R. McMaster, our current national security advisor. We're going to talk about her service to her family, our country, and our good Catholic Church. So stay with us. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Anna Mitchell.
I had this formative experience during one Sunday Mass in the Easter season in seventh grade. During the Gloria, I remember having this sense of being filled. If you can imagine what it must feel like to be a cup being filled with water, that's how it felt. It started at my feet and it moved up my body. And I've come to believe that that was the Holy Spirit. And I can really trace my zeal for the faith back to that moment.
The Sunrise Morning Show, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The EWTN Warriors Rosary is a fitting tribute to all the spiritual warriors who have stood by us over the years. Handcrafted, each rosary is a unique creation. Get yours today. Visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we asked for. Challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
Hello, this is Father John Paul Mary.
This is Debbie Giorgiani, co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
My friends, this is Bishop Kevin Vann of the Diocese of Orange. I want to thank you very much for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hi there and welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I'm Peggy Normandin and we are celebrating America on the show today. Summer is one long American holiday to me. I decorate my house with American trappings, Americana trappings. Start in May with Memorial Day. Keep it up there through June, Flag Day. And of course, it reaches its high pinnacle in July, July 4th. Mm. And then it starts to, you know, starts to get a little faded and tired toward the end of the summer, but I keep it all the way up through Memorial Day. And, summer is just a thoroughly American season to me. I love it. It's red, white, and blue all over the place. And our guest today is, she's not quite a daughter of the American Revolution, but she's a great patriot and she is a servant of the Catholic Church. She's one of my American heroes, heroines. Katie McMaster is currently the Associate Director for Christian Formation for the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia. But in her 35 years of catechetical ministry, Katie has served the church in a vast array of capacities, all over the world, in fact. Her husband happens to be our country's current National Security Advisor, General H.R. McMaster. Over their 35 years of marriage, General McMaster's distinguished military career has taken Katie and their three daughters to 17 different homes in 9 states and 3 countries, surviving 4 deployments, one of which was 20 months long. And by the grace of God, she is here in our studio today. Katie McMaster, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thanks, Peg.
So you have been all over the world. You've had all these different homes, but Orange County can claim you as their native daughter.
Right, right. Grew up in Orange County. Born in L.A., grew up in Orange County.
And mm-hmm. Greater Orange County, I'm sorry. But you also started your catechetical career.
I did.
Modern Day High School?
I went to Modern Day High School, and then when I graduated from the University of San Diego in 1982, all of 22 years old, I was a freshman religion teacher at Modern Day.
Mm. And since then, how many jobs in the Catholic Church have you held?
Oh, gosh, at least 10 different ones.
Wow, that's amazing. So you've traveled around as a military family, and, you know, every time you get sent to another location, I'm sure it's new surroundings, new landscape. But apparently the Catholic Church has been that kind of constancy that sort of says, I'm home.
Right,
I'm home.
Exactly. It's the very familiar place that our family has always gravitated to because it really looks the same wherever you are. No matter what country you're in, what state you're in, the Catholic Church is always home for us.
Well, so explain to all of us, including me, what is the Archdiocese of the Military? How does it work? Because there is no geography to it, really.
No, it's the whole world. The Archdiocese of the Military actually began under Pope John Paul in the, I think, late 80s. before that, it was all the sacramental records. It's really a place to put sacramental records. All the sacramental records were held in the Archdiocese of New York, actually. So when the military archdiocese began its tenure, it was John Paul's vision then to kind of organize all of our military chaplains into a more organized way. Because what happens is when you become a military chaplain, you're on loan from a diocese. From that, bishop gives that priest the permission to serve in the military, and the bishop can call the chaplain back at any time too. Well, so we don't have a diocese. I'm sorry, we don't have a seminary that our priests go to that are, you know, designated to be military chaplains.
So they're diocesan priests.
They're diocesan priests or orders. They're from orders too.
Do they have enough chaplains in the military?
No.
So they no. That's a calling all military chaplains.
No, it's hard because, you know, bishops don't want to let guys go, which I understand too, because they need them to serve in their own diocese. So a lot of times they're on maybe a 5-year stint.
Do they have to be in the military, or not necessarily? They don't have to be military.
They do. Yeah, no, they do both ways. We have some priests that work in our military parishes that actually are contract priests, who are basically sacramental priests. And then we have those that are active duty military that come on active duty or are in the reserves and have the rank of, you know, an officer rank. They come in as a captains, and they go to a chaplain school to kind of teach them how to salute and stuff.
Got to know how to salute.
No, you know, just the ins and outs of being in the military.
That's not a long lesson. I mean, is it three fingers?
No, I think it's the whole hand.
It's the whole hand. Okay.
I think so, yes.
All right. I don't know what that three thing.
I think it's Boy Scouts.
Well, so what does it take, Katie, to be a military chaplain? Since we're putting the call out there for vocations to the military chaplain ministry, what does it take? I mean, why would someone want to serve there? It seems like it would be very, very challenging work.
It is challenging. And I would think it's probably a bit lonely also. The chaplains I've known that have served, in fact, I've one that I know very well, I asked him, I said, what made you want to be a military chaplain? And he actually is a Benedictine. He said that he served, when he got out of high school, he joined the Army or Air Force, I can't remember, but served overseas. And he said it was so hard to find a mass in English when you're overseas, because there weren't enough priests to go. So, you know, a lot of times what our chaplains do, especially overseas, is they fly from base to base. So sometimes, especially deployed in Afghanistan and in Iraq, there's not a mass every Sunday because the priest has to go out to the different outposts. And they, you know, our chaplains don't carry weapons, but they are much in harm's way flying to these different outposts to celebrate mass. And my priest friend said he just thought that he felt a calling to the priesthood, but he felt a particular calling to be a military chaplain because he wanted to be able to serve his country, but also serve the people of God by celebrating Mass with our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines.
Yeah. So you have made a lot of friends of chaplains
over
the years.
I'm sure they do love our chaplains.
Grateful for your friendship. Well, you know, Pope Francis famously said early in his papacy that the Catholic Church is like a field hospital.
Right.
It should be like a field hospital. Well, I'm sure your husband, General H.R. McMaster, and you have both seen some of these field hospitals. How would you carry that metaphor out to be, you know, really applicable to the way we should be as a Catholic Church?
Well, you know, Pope Francis very smartly, when he opened the Year of Mercy, talked about the field hospital, that we really have to, as a church, reach those that really need to have their wounds healed. And in my ministry for the Diocese of Richmond, I mostly do RCIA, where we have both unbaptized coming into the church and then baptized other Christian faiths that come into the church. But there's also a little pocket of a lot of times that people are called who were baptized Catholics, but for whatever reason never finished their sacraments. And so I think Pope Francis really wants us to reach out to all of those, because if you think of someone who's left the church, usually it's because they've been wounded somehow.
Sure, yeah.
And so we want to be able to heal them, and we want to meet them where they are. We want to be welcoming and nurturing. And, you know, Pope Francis just said about his priests, he wants you to be grandfathers. Yeah. I mean, the image of a grandfather being so kind and loving and welcoming you
and
loving you and wise. Exactly.
Yeah.
Not just a bunch of old men, but really a grandfather. Yeah. There's a different
tenderness to that, too. So let's talk a little bit about your Diocese of Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. That's not a really heavily churched area, right?
No, it isn't. We make up about 40,000 square miles.
Wow, that's really tiny. We're talking dollhouse.
No, yeah. We have 144 parishes, And we are vastly, most of the state of Virginia, the northern part of Virginia where I live now, is Arlington. And that's a very small part, and the rest belongs to the Diocese of Richmond. So we, you know, are, it's about 7 hours from side to side of our diocese.
So geographically,
it's big. Yeah,
40,000. Is it growing? Are you getting vocations?
Yes, we have incredible, vocations. We ordained, or there were three priests ordained this year. I want to say we have close to 30 seminarians right now.
Wow.
We don't have a seminary, but most of them go to the seminaries in the Washington, D.C. area. But a very our vicar for vocations, Father Michael Bowling, is so committed. He has a wonderful program, great rapport. The seminarians are very much entrenched in everything that the diocese does. They, you know, of course, do their summer work in parishes, and they spend a lot of time up. And in fact, I was just at the pastoral center, and we have mass every day. And our three new ordained celebrated mass. So
that's
it was so sweet. Yeah.
Last Sunday we were at our church, our local Catholic chapel, and a priest said his first mass since his ordination.
Oh.
And you see this deliberateness and this beauty and reverence that they have.
It's just incredible. I know.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's lovely. Well, Katie, you have in your work as part of the religious education instruction and forming it for your diocese, you know, you really stress the importance of not only educating the catechumens, but being a welcoming congregation
that
sustains their interest. And I would imagine you speak from great experience, because going from military base to military base, you realize, you know, the military family is very much like the Catholic Church in that, you know, you're everywhere and you really have to embrace each other and hold on to each other.
Yes, exactly. Well, and you have to find, that's where you want to find community.
Yes.
And so we want to be that welcoming community to whoever comes in our doors. And so to be that welcoming community, we have to meet them where they are. And the military is very much like that. I mean, you know, when we move, the first thing we do is find our church. A lot of times, most of the times we've gone to church on the military installation, which is in the chapel, which is basically a building that's used for all different worship services, and it becomes Catholic. The crucifix comes down from the ceiling.
The props come out.
The props come, you know, the doors are open with our stations, and the curtains cover up the dunking booth in the back. So
it's home.
And then it's home.
It's like, okay,
yeah,
that's
exactly
what we're doing to our big crystal cathedral over here, turning it into its full glory as a Catholic place of worship, the Christ Cathedral. We're putting out the stations and all those things that are intrinsically Catholic. We're speaking today with Katie McMaster. She's the Associate Director for Christian Formation for the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia. She's also the wife of our National Security Advisor, the great General H.R. McMaster. So, Katie, recently, you made the transition from, you know, one home to another to accommodate your husband's new position. And I want to share with our listeners, just to give you a little bit of the depth of Katie's spirituality. Katie and I know each other personally. We've been friends for a while. And when I heard that General H.R. McMaster had been called to Mar-a-Lago as a national security advisor candidate, along with Bolt and a few other people, I texted Katie right away and I said, wow, the general is being considered for this position. I said, how do you feel? And Katie's response, she texted it back and she said, I'm going on retreat this weekend and I want you to join me in praying for the right outcome.
Uh-huh.
And that was very profound to me, because I thought that was such a beautiful, obedient response. It wasn't like, yeah, that would be so cool, or no, we don't want that to happen. It was a complete deference to Providence, like what is right.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that happened to be my plan anyways, just because of my work? And it was a blessing to be there, because it really was nerve-wracking. And I'm very anxious about this, obviously.
Well, but this has been your life for the last 35
moving
years.
Moving has been.
And not only just moving, but deferring to the choices that are made for you.
Right. That's true.
And that's a beautiful model for, you know, a public servant.
You know, and it's been amazing, because I think early on I used to always fret and worry, and HR was always so good. He always says, you know, what is meant to be will be. We've never not loved a place we've been. We've never not loved the people we've met. It's always been a very positive experience for us, always. And that's kind of what I tell young spouses, like, you know, you're always worried about your next duty station. It's just like you're going to be where you need to be. And you may not think that's where you want to be, but someone else has a plan for you and you just have to rely on that plan.
Well, it takes a certain amount of humility, but there's also a comfort in that. It's like, this decision wasn't mine. We're following the orders of people that know what they're doing.
Right, right.
So, Katie, have you ever been really scared for you or your husband or your family?
Physically, I've not ever been scared of anything, but I think
in, well, you have a mean dog, Leo.
Oh, I do have a very mean. He's such a puppy. He's a bad dog is what he is. He's not a mean dog. He's a bad dog. I think I've always been afraid of anyone who would hurt my family with words mostly, or I've never been afraid when HR has been deployed. As many times as he's been deployed, I've never feared, because HR has never feared that. Mm-hmm. And I also, when I married HR, he wasn't going to stay in the Army. He did kind of trick me on that part. Yes. He had hair too, Peggy.
Oh, yeah. So, I think he looks just fine right now. Okay, this is how we like our generals to look.
So when I married HR, we were getting out of the Army. So, after 5 years, he had a commitment because he went to West Point. And then at the 5 year mark, he goes, you know, I really love this. I think I need to serve our country and stay in the military. And I thought, great, you know, I'm going to.
So you were good with that.
Yeah. And like my role, like I picked this life. I picked to marry someone in the military. My children didn't pick this life. And so it's been challenging for them, but they're more resilient because of it. But I've picked it, and HR and I have decided that this is what we're going to do. And, you know, I'm thrilled to support him and as he serves his country in his new job, too.
And let me say that you're serving our country, too, by supporting his career.
Right.
So that he can serve us. Mm-hmm. But you say your daughters didn't pick this career, but one of them just recently did.
She did.
Your middle daughter just got married.
She just married a lieutenant in the Ranger Regiment, Lee Robinson, my new son-in-law, wonderful, handsome
Lee.
Man.
Hey, Lee and Colleen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got married in April.
Well, so when you watched them get married, as I do whenever I watch a young couple getting married on the altar, I think you don't have any idea how important the sacrament is.
Right.
And what your future holds. So you've got to bring your love to the story, but that's about all you can do, your love and commitment.
Right.
So did you look at your daughter and think, I can't begin to tell you, but just trust?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was a beautiful day. And I was telling you that the marriage sacrament was so special that, like, I kept saying to them, I said, you know, everyone worries so much about the reception and all this kind of stuff. I said, oh, no. The most important part of today is the celebration of your marriage.
Okay, and we're going to take that sound bite, and I'm going to keep it personally. I love what you just said. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and it really is. And we do get confused, and we do kind of put all the emphasis on the reception. Mm. And we also have to put the emphasis on the marriage, what happens after.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful. Oh, yeah. And we, you know.
Everything happens after.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to rely. And so I think that when you choose to get married in the Catholic Church as a sacrament, it does hold such an incredible bond where you're really saying, I will lay down my life for you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, we've got lots more to discuss with our guest today. Katie McMaster works for the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia, and she has also served our country for 35 years as wife of National Security Advisor General H.R. McMaster. So stay with us, because I'm going to play the Catholic This or Catholic That challenge with Katie when we return. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is all about, let's go ride Harleys.
Let's get quiet and go into contemplative prayer. So I want to show men that real Christians are cowboys. If you're sold out for Jesus, there's nothing more masculine you can do.
Bear Wozniak leads a rolling retreat across the United States. Join these real Catholic men as they ride from the Atlantic coast of Florida to the Pacific coast of California, all the while going deeper into their relationship with the Lord. Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak, Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN-TV.
CNA is the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source that brings blogs, stories, and opinions to your fingertips. The latest Catholic news is at CatholicNewsAgency.com, an online service from EWTN News.
Celebrating 100 years of Fatima with Monsignor Charles Pope.
On July 13, 1917, Our Lady spoke to the children at Fatima, and she said, "Continue to pray the rosary every day in order to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war." It's not a difficult request, it's not a complicated request, and yet, do we do it? Do we pray the rosary every day? Our Lady makes this simple request, and she says that it will make great differences, that wars will end, that conflicts will be resolved, and that conversion of sinners will be obtained. If praying the rosary can end a war, how much more so can it also end conflicts within us, in our families, and among each other? Prayer changes things. Do we pray the rosary every day? A simple request of Our Lady. Pray the rosary every day.
Join EWTN as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Visit EWTN.com/Fatima.
This is Bishop John Brungardt of the Diocese of Dodge City.
This is Colin Donovan, Vice President for Theology.
This is Father Larry Richards, host of Open Line Thursday. Thanks for listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Call Me Catholic. So glad you've stayed with us, or so glad you're joining us, because we are enjoying a terrific conversation with our guest today, Katie McMaster. Katie is married to our country's current national security advisor, the great General H.R. McMaster. And for her 35 years of marriage to this distinguished three-star general, we are grateful because her support of his career has enabled him to serve our country with intelligence and valor. But Katie has also served our good Catholic Church wherever she's lived, all 17 different addresses. She's currently the Associate Director for Christian Formation for the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia. So, Katie, I wanted to ask you, you educated, in addition to the great sacrifice you have made by your military service, you also educated your three daughters all the way from grammar school through university. At Catholic schools.
At Catholic schools, yes.
And you worked for the Catholic Church, too. But I sort of wonder now, have they all graduated from college?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, that's many, many years of Catholic education, many universities and schools, and a big financial investment, sacrifice. We know that, too.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a report card would you give the Catholic education system right now?
You know, I'd give them a very high grade. I love Catholic education. I'm a product of Catholic education. HR is a product of Catholic education. I think in the military, I can't imagine not doing that. But a great story, my dad said to me one time, I can remember when Catherine, my oldest, was, we had moved to North Carolina and HR was going to graduate school. And there was a St. Thomas More. There was a small Catholic school that I wanted Catherine to go to kindergarten to. But there wasn't room. And I was devastated. I thought, oh my heavens, what's going to happen if she doesn't go to Catholic school? And my dad said, Katie, then this is a man who put seven children through, you know, 12 years of Catholic education. And we all went to Catholic universities. And he said, what happens around your dinner table is more important than what happens in Catholic schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's true, too. But I do love our Catholic schools. And I, whenever we could, our children went to Catholic schools as we moved around in the military. And I think, again, why the Catholic Church was kind of our home, the Catholic school was a safe haven for my children.
Mm-hmm.
It was constant. They learned values. Important things go on in Catholic schools. I cannot even tell you the times that we've been to a public school or a Catholic school, the difference. There's just a warmth in a Catholic school.
Well, and I have visited a lot of grammar schools, too, in our Chatting with Catholic segments. And I love walking into the rooms that have the imagery and
yes.
knowing that whether these kids are aware of this or not, the devotions are all around them.
Absolutely.
And they're keeping them company.
Yes.
And they will console them as they get older,
yeah.
too, even if...
Just my sister's children go to Holy Family Cathedral School. And I went to a school mass there, and I was weeping because I thought, oh, this is so cute. I remember when I used to do that with my girls.
Yeah, yeah. So you were raised, as you mentioned, you were raised in a Catholic family, a large Catholic family. You're a cradle Catholic. Does your faith express itself differently than your mother's faith? And you have these three daughters. Do they identify with the faith in a different way?
Well, I think it's generationally. Mm-hmm. I do think that different generations have a different relationship with their faith. I think that my mom and dad are devout Catholics. I think my generation maybe internalized it more because after Vatican II, the understanding of you know why we do what we do was we understood why we do what we do. I see my children who still are practicing Catholics. It is more challenging for that generation because I think that because relativism has creeped into our society
mm-hmm.
and there's just so many things battling against being a holy person in our society, that it's more challenging for our kids.
Mm-hmm. The concept of being a saint isn't something that immediately comes to their consciousness.
No, no.
Yeah.
In fact, because we don't, you know, I can remember my grandmother telling me, you know, the story of baby Jesus and when they had to leave and flee, you know, with the baby. So Herod, you know, and baby Jesus, yeah, into Egypt. And you know, baby Jesus to me was like a little boy. And the vision of him and his mom and dad on a donkey was like the stories I grew up on.
Yeah. That really happened, you know.
No, I know. It's a true story. I know. But now I think this generation now, they, you know, worship, you know, I'm going to.
Culture.
Yeah, exactly.
We're battling culture because before, like our parents' generation, culture was completely aligned mm-hmm. with the values
it
of
was.
Our faith.
It was.
And, you know, sure, everybody went astray and mm-hmm. people had doubts and all that stuff, but the culture was consistent. So you didn't walk outside and get a completely different message. Our generation, the wicked generation, we introduced a lot of challenges. We started discarding a lot of practices. And I think sometimes when we lost our outward habits, the covering of the head, mm-hmm. the abstaining from meat on Fridays, the regular attendance of confession and things like that, you know, people dismiss that.
Right.
But we actually, that really keeps us formed.
It does. It does. Engaged. And it's important. And we have to really swing back that way. I do think things got a little loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
We kind of lost our way a little bit. Yeah. I see, starting with Pope Benedict and now, of course, with Pope Francis, really going back to like what, you know, it's about evangelization. It's about changing your soul. Yeah. You know, all these different rules, if you will, follow. You want to follow the man. You want to be a disciple of Jesus. When you fall in love with Jesus, the rest comes naturally.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what we have to do. We have to re-fall in love with Jesus, and then we will want to be his. He's the rabbi. We will want to be his disciple yeah. and take on his worldview.
You know, that's what love is. When you're in love with someone, you do look to them.
Right.
You look to them for your light. And,
exactly.
And you follow them.
Exactly.
So, okay, Katie McMaster, we are going to play a little challenge game today. Now, I only play, Jimmy G can back this up, I only bring this game on for my really special guests, right?
Oh, good.
Only the extra special ones.
Yeah. It's called the Catholic This or Catholic That Challenge. Now, you want to know who the last person I played this game
who?
With was? Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fancy.
So you're following in some pretty heavy
yes.
footsteps, but you are wife of General H.R. McMaster, our national security advisor, and you are in yourself a very practiced, well thought out professional in the Catholic Church. You work with the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia right now. So I know you're going to be really qualified to play this game with us. So here's how it works, Katie. I'm going to throw out two things, person, place, or things in the Catholic Church, in our Catholic faith, in our Catholic history. You pick one and you tell me why you're picking that one.
Okay.
It doesn't mean the other one is wrong.
Okay.
It's no right or wrong. Okay. So we're going to start with an easy. I'm going to give her a soft lob to begin with.
I remember you really stumped Harry. Poor Harry.
Don't you stump me.
No. You can't. There's no wrong answer. I think Harry gave us some pretty good answers.
He did.
Yeah. I stumped him on one of them. Okay. So here we go. Catholic this or Catholic that? The Hail Mary or the Our Father?
Hail Mary. Always go to the Blessed Mother. She is my inspiration as a mother and as a female.
But the Our Father came to us from Jesus himself.
Yes, it did. But who catechized Jesus?
His mother.
His mother
oh,
did.
Boom. I lost that one. But you know, okay, so I also want to talk to you about the Our Father, just as a little diversion, because I love to say the Our Father,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like to sing the Our Father.
I don't like to, you know why? Because it's not meant to be sung, actually.
But
because it's the universal
that,
prayer.
He said, oh, that's always the highest elevated way we can offer a prayer to Jesus is by singing it.
Yeah, but not everyone sings, I guess.
No.
Well, maybe because I am such a bad singer. I don't like to sing the Our Father.
In our communities where I sing the Our Father, it sounds a little bit like a dirge. And I think, no, I'd rather just say it. And the other thing I like about the Our Father is that when you are at a service where you have people from other denominations,
mm-hmm.
like a wedding or a baptism or a funeral even, I love the fact that everybody can say
Everybody can say it, yes.
Now, you know the Catholics because they stop at the end and
you know.
Say, for thine is the kingdom.
You know when you're at a mass with other Protestants, is that they don't break, do
yeah.
the break.
Yeah, they don't. Okay, so here we go, Katie. The next Catholic this or Catholic that. St. Joseph or St. Peter?
I think my first reaction would be St. Joseph. Again, that idea of family. You know, he raised up his son. And, I mean, Jesus learned at his mother and father's knees, and as a parent, that's what our role is as catechists, to, you know, like my dad said, around the dining room table.
Yeah. I am completely in line with you on that. I think St. Peter is a fascinating person mm-hmm. in our church history, and obviously he is the rock.
Right.
And I love all the scripture where it gives me insight into his behavior, and I think what he did was, you know, insurmountably miraculous, and, you know, he was so openly devoted to Jesus. And he also was a model to us of how you can fail Jesus. But I don't pray often to St. Peter.
No.
But I do pray to St.
Joseph.
And I also think that when you have a really strong male in your life, like you have with
right.
your husband, the General H.R. McMaster, and I have with my husband,
Sweet
who
Jim.
Has been such a strong protector and defender and anchor in our life. You know, St. Joseph was that person. And
yeah, I do. I like that.
That.
I like that. Yeah, the defender and the protector. I love that.
Okay, so we dedicated that to our husbands.
Okay, good.
All right. Okay, choir or cantor?
Ooh, I think I like cantor because I am a very bad singer.
But a cantor usually means the congregation is singing.
Well, yes, but she's the – well, I work with – one of my colleagues at work is a beautiful cantor, and so that's, I think, maybe why I picked cantor. I think I like cantoring.
Okay. All right. Well, I like choirs.
Mm-hmm.
Because we happen to have at Our Lady Queen of Angels an extraordinary choir. And I like to just sit and listen to something so beautiful that I could not possibly create myself. And it does sound like a – incense rising to Jesus.
Right, right.
I love that. But I respect your answer on that one.
Thank you.
Okay. Lent or Advent?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I think Advent is the time of waiting for the birth. And then Lent is the time of us kind of reflecting on, you know, how we can really ready ourselves for the ultimate sacrifice. I'm not gonna be able to pick between those two.
Well, I know because we associate Advent with a certain, I forget sometimes that we're waiting in Advent and we get caught up with the season. But did Christmas ever bring a certain melancholy to you in the military life because you were away from home or?
You know, I would say no now at this stage of my life, but I think early on, I always yearned to be back with my family. But once I had my own family, I loved just being with my family mm-hmm. because we had to start traditions. We couldn't afford to fly home every Christmas and it's crazy time and or HR was deployed and we couldn't go. So we have really made some great traditions with our family and we don't travel on Christmas now anymore. We stay with our family.
Well, certainly you have that opportunity to do that and you're going to do that. But, you know, Lent, I do love Lent as a penitential season because mm-hmm. it really is very tactile.
Right.
You know, we have so many images around us that remind
exactly
us of what
true,
we're doing. We have so many practices. The Stations of the Cross become really integral to our expression of faith during that time. So I have to go with, as a liturgical season, I would say Advent for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wish we could, as a church, introduce more practices into Advent to remind us. I think, you know, as a...
Advent wreath.
The Advent mm-hmm, wreath, mm-hmm. The purple candles and all that stuff. As a person that helps form the faith mm-hmm. For new catechumens in the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia, do you see the church trying to kind of introduce some of these things? Because I see churches trying to do it, but nobody attends them. You know, have
oh, you know, and that's what my big sounding board is that when we do have our unbaptized catechumens coming into the church or our fellow Christians baptized, we really have to bring them into stuff that we're doing now in the church. We can't wait till after Easter.
Right.
Because they're not part of a community after Easter. Their community is in room four where they're getting catechized.
Yeah.
We need to bring them in to watch disciples. In fact, the rite tells us specifically initiation takes place within the community of the faithful, yeah. not only in room four on Thursday night yeah. when we meet.
Not like the upper room with the disciples.
Exactly. No, we need to bring them into the community before the Easter vigil. They do not need to be baptized to come to Stations of the Cross or anything.
Yeah.
They can come to again, parish picnics. We need to bring them
fish
into
bakes.
The community. Exactly.
Yeah.
They have to be part of the community before they're
yeah,
initiated.
So Lent is a big season for you. I mean,
it's my busy season,
yeah.
right?
Okay. So I understand. We picked Lent. And Jimmy G, if you have any comments and you want to jump in and say, hey, I'd like this one, feel free.
I'm just sitting here listening and enjoying.
It's very dangerous to get two women gabbing at each other. I mean, you have no opportunity to jump into that conversation. It's like when I watch my husband and my mom and three sisters are all together. It's like, I'm out of here. Okay. Favorite nun or favorite priest?
Favorite priests. I have a lot of favorite priests.
Yeah, you have a lot of priest friends.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Anyone in particular you want to give a shout out to?
Oh, boy, shout out. I love Father Steve Salat,
who's
here.
Oh, see? That's a local name here.
I also love Monsignor Vince Burns, who's been a longtime friend. He was a military chaplain.
Is he the one who said your daughter's wedding?
We had two. We had Monsignor Burns come, and then we also had Father Paul Hurley, who's actually the chief of chaplains. He went to West Point with my husband. He's a two-star general. He's in charge of all the all the chaplains, not just the Catholic chaplains, but he is a Catholic priest from the Diocese of Boston.
Okay.
And he came out and celebrated my daughter's wedding.
Monsignor Burns, you got a call out.
And
from
and
the great
Father,
Katie McMaster.
Father Paul Hurley.
And Father Paul Hurley. So, Bible or catechism?
I think catechism, it's such a great complement to the Bible because within the catechism, you have scripture too. I mean, the catechism is based on scripture, so.
I would have to say the Bible for me, and I know a lot of Catholics are saying, no, the catechism. But I went through a period early in my adult life where I saw a picture of Jesus, and I thought, what was Jesus like? What was he like? What would it have been like to have met him in the flesh and blood? And I decided to go to some scripture study classes to kind of help me, and that was a real turning point for
it's
me
nice,
in terms
yeah.
of connecting with my faith and learning about it beyond who are you and why did God create you? Do you know the answer to that, by the way, if you like the catechism?
The Baltimore Catechism?
Yeah.
I wasn't raised on Baltimore Catechism. Okay. He created, I think, created to, so I can...
know, love, and serve him
serve
in this
him.
World,
mm-hmm.
so we can be with him in the next.
Right, right.
Okay. You get a kind of a B minus on that one, Katie.
I was not raised on the Baltimore Catechism.
All right, cathedral or chapel? I know you're going to answer this one.
Well, you know, I love the cathedral because I love my cathedral in Richmond. And, you know, the other...
What
I forgot to give
that?
A shout out to my darling bishop, Bishop... Francis De Lorenzo, who...
he's being transferred.
He's retiring.
Oh, he's retiring.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He submitted his paperwork to the Holy Father. But our cathedral in Richmond is beautiful, and I have spent a lot of time there because so many of our rituals within the RCIA take place at the cathedral. So I do love a cathedral.
Okay.
It's so vast.
What is
grand.
The name of your cathedral?
The Cathedral of the Sacred Heart.
I thought you would say the chapel because I know you and your family have a devotion to the St. John Vianney Chapel on Balboa Island.
Oh, I do love
very
St. John
intimate.
Too.
Yeah. And that, you know, when you go into a small chapel, you feel an intimacy that you don't get in the cathedrals. But in a beautiful cathedral, you feel the supernatural, transcendent mystery.
Yeah. It's hard to pick because Colleen was married in one of the missions, which was a small.
Yeah. Those are chapels usually.
Chapel, yeah, the San Ynez Mission.
Okay.
And it was very special because it was so small.
So here's another one. The Holy Land or Rome?
I love Rome. I've never been to the Holy Land, though.
I haven't either.
Can we go together?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Pilgrimage.
Yay, yay, yay. We could go on the air and, like, talk about our journey.
Let's do it.
No, but I
Jimmy
love
Jimmy G's going to bring us up to date on traveling and recording equipment.
I could break in with weather forecasts and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah. A little traffic report around the Holy Land.
You know. I have to go to the Holy Land. I must go. Yes. But I love Rome.
Yes, I love Rome too. And Rome is the rock. I mean, you see it. It is the rock. I had a trip where I went to Rome and then I went to Paris for the first time, both places. And I said, Rome is so masculine and massive and strong and anchored into the earth with its big jagged ruins and stately, fantastic basilicas. And Paris is so pretty and frilly and, mm-hmm. and lovely and mm-hmm. flowery.
Mm-hmm.
But I stake my claim on Rome, too.
Right.
Awesome. Okay, the last one would be the luminous mysteries or the glorious mysteries?
I think the glorious.
Okay.
Just go to the big one. Go to the big one.
I kind of like the luminous. Mm-hmm. I love that John Paul II introduced a new set of mysteries for us because I think there's a lot to think on there.
Mm-hmm.
The baptism of the Jordan, the preaching of the kingdom, the transfiguration. I love the transfiguration. So there you have it. Now, I want to tell our listeners that I am wearing today, in honor of Katie, my Liberty pin that was designed by Ann Hand, who is a great Washington, D.C., designer who specializes in patriotic jewelry. And I wore it to one of the general's pinnings, his commission and promotion, I guess you call it.
Promotion, yeah.
And Katie told me that she's getting a pin now as a cabinet pin.
Right.
Designed by Ann Hand.
Right, right. Other spouses in the cabinet got together and the Senate spouses have pins and the House has pins. And so they thought, oh, we're going to get pins too.
Yay.
And HR's really not in the cabinet. But they've embraced us also.
He's just about everything.
But, you know, the director of CIA's wife also is going to get a pin. And so Ann Hand, when you said that, I said, oh, that's who's designed ours. And she has a shop in Georgetown.
Yeah. And she does beautiful, beautiful jewelry. And she takes on beautiful themes, religious themes and patriotic themes mm-hmm. and themes around our government and our history. So
right.
I love that idea. So, Katie McMaster, I want to ask you one final question. You have always spoken of faith in the military is being palpable and real. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's not, as we say, there is no atheist in the foxholes. Now you have these circles that have overlapped each other. You have the military world and the political world because you're living in Washington and you're seeing your husband, who's the new national security advisor, involved in a whole different kind of day-to-day routine. Do you see faith in politics or faith in our government workings as obviously, apparently, as you did in the military?
Well, you know, I do think that we still, I believe, and I'm not sure because I believe the Senate or the House always opens with a prayer, and there is mm-hmm. a chaplain in Congress. I do think that we are returning more to our Judeo-Christian, you know, roots of prayers. I think this administration in particular is very pro-religious freedom, which I think is good. As far as personal people of faith, I do think you see that in both the military and then also in politics.
Well, you know, I guess part of it is that you campaign to be where you are in politics, so you have a sense of a little bit of a sense of self-importance mm-hmm. and self-reliance. Whereas in the military, in the end, you know, you're always just out there. You know, you're really out there exposed.
Right.
And faith probably comes more naturally in that circumstance. But I agree with you, and I'm glad to see some of these religious, like the prayer breakfast and things like that.
Right.
And I love the pictures of early on in his appointment, your husband, General H.R. McMaster, accompanied our president to visit the Pope.
Yes, and the picture of H.R. and Pope Francis was amazing.
Yeah.
And the smile on both their faces.
Smile on, yes,
H.R.
Pope Francis.
H.R. said that he was so gracious, and H.R., you know, he got to go into the Sistine Chapel, you know, with just Secretary Tillerson, just the two of them. And he said it was so incredibly moving, and that just being in Pope Francis's presence was life-changing. He said he felt a calmness, which I don't know that he feels calmness a lot in that job.
That's your job.
I calm him.
Well, we want him to feel a little high-strung. They're always at the ready. But I saw the picture, too, and I thought it was just beautiful.
I couldn't wait to send it to you, yeah.
Yeah, well, these men really connected. You could see their engagement with
and
each
know,
other.
And you know what Pope Francis said to HR?
No.
Please pray for me. That was what he said to him.
So have you been praying for him?
Yes, but we also, HR also asked Pope Francis to pray for him.
Beautiful. Well, that would be the right response, I
guess.
Well, you know, Katie, I have to say, your husband has been really above reproach in the media eye. So we are so proud of his service and what he represents and his values and his background and his wife.
Thank you.
So, Katie McMaster, thank you for everything, for your service to our country, for your service to our Catholic Church, for your friendship, and for your presence on Call Me Catholic today. Please give the General our very best regards.
I will.
And tell him to keep up the good work. God bless you both.
Thank you so much, Peggy. It was so fun doing this with you.
Totally love this. One day, co-hosting with me.
Right.
Okay.
We're going to do it, but we're going to do it on the road.
On the road. On the road to the Holy Land.
Holy Land.
Okay, you heard it, Jimmy G. When we come back, we're going to be chatting with Catholics, hearing from some Catholics about a favorite church they visited while they were on vacation. So we've got more to share. Stay with us. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. While purity is an important virtue, a lot of times we can confuse this beatitude for discussion about sexual morality. To be pure in heart is to be completely focused on and in love with God. God has given us an invitation deep within us to share in His own divine life. But it's important that we choose to focus on Him and respond to that invitation. In a homily on the Mount of Beatitudes in 2000, St. John Paul the Great says that we are called to have an urgent response to choose between life and death. In one of the earliest known Christian documents on morality, the Didache, it says there are two ways, one of life and one of death. And between the two ways is a great difference. God has called us to be focused on Him and His love. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic. Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, hello again. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Peggy Normandin, and here on Call Me Catholic, we just enjoyed a terrific conversation with Katie McMaster, wife of our National Security Advisor, General H.R. McMaster. We were fortunate enough to snag her while she was in town on vacation with her family, so we got really, really, really lucky there. Speaking of vacations, summer is traveling season, and so you might see some new people in the pews of your parish church over July and August. Be sure to be friendly and very welcoming to them. It's so fun to discover new little Catholic churches along the road of our travels. You always remember those churches you visit on vacation. They just tend to make an impression on you. So in chatting with Catholics today, I asked some fellow Catholics to share with me a favorite church they visited while on vacation.
Call Me Catholic. We're chatting with Catholics.
I am out here talking with some very well-traveled Catholics in our area, and I'm asking them to share with me a special memory they have from visiting a Catholic church while they were on vacation.
One of the most beautiful churches I've been to is in Paris, in the heart of Paris, and it is the Chapel of the Miraculous Medal. And I remember it so vividly because I went to the altar and the words on above the altar said, all those who come to my altar will receive many graces. And I have a very special devotion to the Miraculous Medal, so that's one of my favorites.
If we're talking about travels and churches and inspiration, of course what jumps out in my mind is St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. I was traveling there with my daughters, and I was alone one day while they were doing something more exciting, I guess. And I decided to walk to the cathedral and just look around. And I walked all around that cathedral, even over to the choir loft. And I was so inspired by how beautiful it was that I never did forget that.
I believe it was 1965, and I was in the Boy Scouts, and we were on our way to Philmont Scout Ranch. And we were camping in Oak Creek Canyon in Sedona, Arizona. And on Sunday morning, one of the scoutmasters took those of us that were Catholic to the local Catholic church, which was just stunning. It was built into the rock and the cross, and it looked over the valley. I believe it's called the Chapel of the Holy Cross. And I can assure you, if you ever have a chance to visit, the view is spectacular. Although the scenery has changed dramatically in Sedona since 1965. But that church is still magnificent.
A special memory was when we were visiting with my family in Manitou Springs, Colorado, and we had gone to midnight mass. The church was Our Lady of Perpetual Help. We walked in. It was a cute little quaint chapel, and the music was played on a record player. And as we walked out, it was snowing, the beautiful snowfall of all, and it was such a special meeting.
We were on a cruise off of the coast of New England. It was a fall foliage cruise, and one of the first days was a Sunday, and we stopped in Camden, Maine. We found a church. It was Our Lady of Good Hope, and it was a darling little church, but what I remember most was in how engaged and active the congregation was. And I often think of them.
Yes, I was traveling in Prague with my two daughters after my oldest daughter's graduation. We went to Mass at the church in Prague, the home of the Infant of Prague, at Our Lady Victorious. And while we were there, we heard these beautiful choir. We turned around. There was a group of Philippine Americans on a tour of Europe, and it just made the trip so much more special to share Mass with these young American kids. It was very memorable.
There's lots more great EWTN programming ahead for you today on this Saturday. Barbara McGuigan follows us with her Good Fight, 2 hours of great conversation. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page. Give us a like. So that's a wrap for us today, listeners. Be sure to tune in again next week for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.